There's a consultation happening now on a new strategic plan, which, according to Cabinet Office Minister David Ashford, will help build great communities, protect our environment, and promote sustainable development. Mr. Ashford joins me now in the studio. So why is this plan so important?
So the strategic plan is probably the most important document when it comes to planning policy and how that is done in the going forward in the future. The strategic plan's the overarching policy framework that pulls everything together around development in the island. So it looks at the infrastructure side, it looks at the housing need, it looks at the spatial strategies as well. It's the document that pulls absolutely everything together and also provides guidance on how planning applications and someone should be considered and what weight different elements should be given. So it's absolutely crucial to the planning system.
So if anyone is interested, and I guess most people listening to this programme probably would be interested in what the shape of the Isle of Man is going to be or how it's going to be formed in the next 10, 15, 20 years, they really should be looking at this consultation.
Most definitely, I would urge anyone to go on and take a look. What we've done this time as well is we've simplified the process for people. In the past, the consultation documents, from my point of view, have been rather unwieldy things, very dry, very very word heavy and very page heavy consultations. What we've done this time is we've tried to do it in a more user-friendly way. We've split it out into five different papers. There's a community guide as well, so people can delve, if people really want the detail, and they can delve into that detail. But people who just want a quick overview of what potentially could be proposed, they can get that at the higher level as well. So there's something for everyone, and it's a lot more user friendly this time. So I would urge everyone to respond to the consultation, which runs until the 27th of October.
And the sorts of questions that are resolved in things like strategic plans are the big one, really, the population. And I was interested to note that the feedback so far seems to be a 50-50 split between those who think that the estimation of how many new houses are needed is far too high, and the other side, which is saying it's far too low.
Well, I mean, one of the beauties of coming forward with the strategic plan now is, of course, one of the things that was done fairly recently was the OHAN, the Objective Assessment of Housing Need, which was the first time there'd ever been a proper formal assessment as to what housing is required. Now, the way the OHAN worked is it actually did different scenarios and gave a range. But for instance, one of the things that came out of that is we know that even using the lower end of the range, that we need to have 1,000 affordable houses over the next 10 years. And it also looked forward to other types of housing as well. So that will actually be able to feed into this strategic plan. So unlike strategic plans in the past, where it's probably been a bit of a finger in the air and looking forward, we do actually have more data this time to be able to back up the potential as to what is required.
Is this consultation, is it a referendum, or is it basically a collection of views and you will decide then based on what you know and the views that are expressed, how are you going to create the policies within this strategic plan?
Yeah, as with all consultations, it's not a referendum. They're two very, very different things. You know, some consultations, as you know, Phil, you get responses from maybe a couple of dozen people. Obviously, this one, we're hoping it'll be an awful lot higher than most consultations. But what we'll do is we'll look at the different comments that come back and we'll feed those into the process. So every single comment and every single submission will be gone through by the planning team, that sits within policy team, that sits within Cabinet Office, and will be considered as part of the way we move forward with this. The strategic plan, to be honest, is a bit out of date now. The last review was in 2016, and all that did was actually look at the housing numbers and update those. So there hasn't really been a proper review of the strategic plan since 2007. And as much as some of us wouldn't like to admit it, 2007 is quite a long way away now. You know, you're coming up to 18 years, really, since the strategic plan was properly revised.
And I do recall the planning minister of the day, way back then, saying something, words to the effect of the plan is already out of date. This was after approved, because it takes a long time to develop these things.
It does, and I mean, we've already had a preliminary round of publicity in 2023, with, off the back of which we got some very helpful comments, but it takes roughly from start to finish about 12 months for the strategic plan before it's ready to go before Tynwald for approval. So there is an awful lot of work, even from this stage of the preliminary publicity through to the actual plan getting adopted. But like I say, one of the beauties this time is that we have the Ohan as well sitting behind us, which gives us a lot more factual information about where we think the housing needs will be over the period through to 2041, and where those pressure points will be, something we haven't actually had before.
Well, one way to get into the detail would be to I will raise the comment, because it was in the feedback given to the 2023 pre-publicity consultation, which is a consultation, but not quite the same as this consultation. In that, more than 50% of the respondents said there should be no tourism development in the countryside. How did that question get such a big response? I mean, what was behind the question?
If you look at 2023 from memory, there was a few things going on at that time. So there were certain planning applications, if I remember correctly, becoming before the planning committee for various tourism things that were out in the countryside, particularly in the north of the island, that proved rather controversial with local residents. So I think that you've got to think of things in the timing they came out, and I think there was particular circumstances in 2023 that probably drove the answers to that question, making people much more likely to submit responses such as that. So I think context can be quite important, but from memory, there were certain planning applications at that time that I think probably drove the responses to those questions.
So you might be expecting then quite a lot of responses in relation to renewable energy projects, I guess, from this consultation.
Well, I never like to prejudge what the Great Banks public might actually come back with, but I think obviously there probably will be people expressing concerns around certain developments and support for other things. It'll be a very mixed bag. It always is when you go out for consultation on planning. You get a lot of people against some things, lots of people for other things, and it really is mixed. But like I say, the important thing is that people get online, express their views. There is paper copies available as well that people can collect, and actually get those submissions in, so that we've got a wide range of views from across the island to feed into this, because it really is an absolutely crucial document.
Well, one of the things that is clearly a big issue for this government, it's something that wasn't really discussed at the election, but was announced shortly afterwards, which was this population target. Now, I know government has sort of rode back a bit from that, but the plan talks about 100,000 people needing services, and the plan needed to provide services for 100,000 people. What opportunity is there in terms of this consultation for the public to either give their support to this or to challenge that figure?
So in terms of population, the key thing which links in with the economic strategy is to emphasise that actually the target, even in the economic strategy, was all around jobs, around creating the 5,000 extra jobs across our economy, rather than actually an arbitrary population target. If you can create 5,000 jobs by increasing the population by 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, if all those are economically active, then that actually achieves your objective. That was what the objective was always actually aimed at. And that's one of the things that does drive through into the strategic plan consultation, where we talk about land availability for development of economic purposes, and actually developing what would need to be workland in order for businesses to be able to thrive. That feeds in directly. So again, I wouldn't really want people hooked up on a population target, because like I say, the target has always really been about the economy and increasing and expanding the Manx economy by bringing in people of working age and family age to be able to actually drive that.
And of course, the thing that in my memory, if it serves me correct, the thing that caused the most consternation, that's the word I'm looking for, was the suggested figure for housing in each of the areas of the island. So there was a north, south, east, west figure in, I think, both the previous versions of the plan. Will there be a target figure for housing in the east, west, north and south?
Yes, because part of the whole point of a strategic plan is you have to look at spatial availability and where that housing growth potentially will be. So it will update the housing figures again and get based on what we know around the OHAN. So it is important that there's transparency around that, around, you know, where the build might necessarily need to be, because the strategic plan sits overarching above the area plans. You know, there is that element of it. So yes, there will need to be actual spatial targets in terms of development.
And part of the consultation refers to the different potential ways in which that housing can be located. So one suggestion is that we just make Douglas even bigger by building all the houses in or almost all the houses in and around Douglas. The other one is the status quo, which basically says that housing should be focused round the sort of the I forget the exact term for it now, the town and village sort of centres. And then there's a kind of, I think there was a third option which give you a mix of the two, but you tell me.
So in historically there's been always considered three options, which is, as you rightly say, just keep expanding in the east and building out where you can and expanding there. The second has always been around developing and expanding the existing settlements around the island in the various urban areas and adding on to them. And the third has always been around, as you say, a mix, but actually potentially developing new urban hubs, expanding off the existing ones. One of the key things with the strategic plan is that has to actually decide via the spatial strategy what line you want to take. And that's why, again, it is important people actually go online and all get the paper copies and actually submit their views, because, you know, the whole thing is open. It's a proper review of the strategic plan. We want to hear people's views. We want to hear views of the ordinary person on the street. We want to hear the views of developers. We want to hear the views of those who perhaps are seeking housing, you know, and are having problems with supply. We want a wide range of views in order to be able to drive forward what the policy should actually be. And this is what will actually inform that policy.
And this matters because, I mean, again, this is an anecdote, but I remember as one of the southern members of the House of Keys when the area plan for the south came through, and it was very much driven by the policies that existed in the strategic plan, and it ended up delivering things that actually the MHKs and the local commissioners didn't necessarily want in the south, and which led to, I think, three of the five southern MHKs, as there were at the time, voting against the plan. So this matters, this strategic plan. You know, it is really important to get your feedback and get your views in to this consultation, because it will change the way in which policies in relation to planning are set for, well, it's up to 2044, was it?
Oh, 2041. 41. We're looking to try and take it through to. But of course, the whole thing with the strategic plan is it remains in place until it is replaced. Mm. So even, you know, it could even stretch past 2041 if there's no move to actually replace the strategic plan in the meantime. It doesn't just expire, it actually remains in place. Similar, as I say, that there's not been a proper review since 2007, really, updated numbers in 2016, but that was about it. So it is crucial that people actually get themselves involved in this, even if they're not normally excited by the idea of planning, because it is about the future of the island, and we want as wide a range of views as possible in this consultation.
What's the timetable for this? I mean, are you expecting to have the, because this consultation needs to take place, then work will need to be undertaken based on what feedback you receive. Then there will need to be a proper inquiry into whatever it is that you produce as a draft strategic plan. When are we likely to get to a position where Tyndall can make a decision on this?
Yeah, so the various stages of the strategic plan are laid out in the Town and Country Planning Act, and there's a very formalised legal process that has to be gone through. It normally takes from the end of the preliminary publicity period about 12 months for it to have a strategic plan, having gone through all the stages, be drawn up and be ready to go before Tynwald for consideration. So it's a 12 to 13 sort of month process. So it would actually be late 2026, early 2027 that it would actually be in place.
So it can be an election issue then, because the one of the worst things that you could do is have it all done and dusted in July, Tynwald, and then a whole load of people get elected who have a completely different outlook, and they're stuck with this plan until it's reformed.
Yeah, I'll be absolutely clear. It is not, the strategic plan is not going to be in place before the end of this administration. There is just no way with the time scales and the legal framework that you have to go through. It will cross over administrations. We're starting this now, but it will run into the next administration, and the decision on how it's taken forward will be for that administration to decide.
And unlike well, the particular case at the moment is the offshore wind farm. Unlike that case, where potential decision makers after the election can't have commented specifically on that application, unlike that, you can specifically comment on a strategic plan because it is effectively about policy development rather than a site-specific development.
It is. Anyone can comment on the strategic plan. It is policy. It is around how we strategically deal with things in terms of a planning sense and actual build on the island and how planning policy applies. So anyone can comment. They're not going to conflict themselves by commenting. So I would urge anyone, including my colleagues, to get online and comment. And like I say, there are paper copies available as well, should people require them.
So let's have a little bit more of an in-depth look at this now then. The critical issues identified, population and housing. Well, housing has been apparently a critical issue for this government since the election back in 2021. Here we are with a plan that's not even going to be finalised before the next election, identifying this critical issue. How does the plan deal with housing?
So first thing to say, though, is this housing has been a critical matter for this administration. One of my other hats is chair of the Housing Communities Board, and there has been various things done in this administration in relation to housing. So the number of affordable housing units being provided has ramped up, and it is ramping up in the final year of this administration. By the end of this administration, we will have actually delivered more affordable housing units than the last administration and potentially the administration before that as well. And And also, of course, there's been a lot of work around homelessness. We actually have a homelessness strategy and a homelessness pathway. Quite astonishing when you think about it that in this administration, it's the first one to ever have a proper homelessness pathway where people can seek proper coordinated help should they find themselves homeless. In terms of the strategic plan, that is obviously looking forward. We've already got the OHAN target around affordable housing. The strategic plan is much wider than that, and it's looking at where housing should be built, updating the housing numbers. We've got the OHAN evidence, and trying to take a long-term look through to 2041 rather than dealing with the immediacy of housing supply. It's taking a much longer-term look.
So the sorts of questions that people are asked in this consultation are, do you want to see housing primarily based in either Peel or Douglas, or would you like to see some houses built in Moraine and some houses in Crosby or Glenvine or wherever? And people have the ability to comment on that and say, you know, whether they think everyone should be living in the big towns or whether an opportunity arises for the smaller villages to get some houses.
Yeah, so it goes back to the three principles that we discussed shortly ago about, you know, the options that have always been around in the past as well. Do you continue to just expand out the east? Do you have expansion of the existing urban areas? Or do you start creating slightly larger urban combinations elsewhere?
And in terms of that, presumably people can they just say, actually, I quite fancy having an extra 10 houses built in Crosby, or do they need to give a little bit more by way of why they think that?
What we would like, if people are willing to give, so give it, reasoning as well, you know, as to why they actually feel the way that they do. But it's obviously up to individuals how they respond to the consultation. You know, it's their response. And I wouldn't want to turn around to someone and say, oh, you've got to give much more detail. If someone wants to just turn around and say, well, I believe Crosby should be expanded and leave it at that, that's up to them as part of their response. But equally, for those who want to go into more depth and actually have thought it through and said, well, this is the reasons why I believe that should be the right decision, then by all means, it's their consultation response, and it's important that they answer it in the way that they feel comfortable, in as little or as much detail as they want.
And I guess that because of things like the lockdown and COVID, but also the development in AI and the ability for people to work from home to a far greater extent than ever before, because of those things, previous assumptions about planning, about the fact that people need to live near shops and they need to live in large, I think, service towns, mm-hmm. is it? They're called service centres.
Yeah, service towns.
That assumption perhaps is no longer as solid a thing to base your plan on as perhaps it was.
And this is the important thing, which is why we do need a review, because time moves on. And as I said, you know, 18 years since really there was the last full proper review of the strategic plan. The world has fundamentally changed since then. And it's important that when it comes to planning policy, that we actually change with it and we ensure that actually what we're doing actually meets the needs of the island in the future. Rather than looking to the past, this is about looking to the future, looking to what type of island we will have in 2041 and what we need to do to provide the critical infrastructure to be able to support our population as far forward as that.
And town centres are clearly struggling, I think it's fair to say, at the moment. There's quite a lot of work being done, particularly by the Department for Enterprise. There's lots of schemes available to try and encourage more footfall in towns. But effectively, you know, you can probably remember, I certainly can remember the days where I could go to Port St Mary and I could buy pretty much everything I needed. You know, there were bakers, there were butchers, there were greengrocers, you know, everything was available there. Whereas now, it's quite different. Actually, you can go online and within a few clicks, you've got your shopping done, and it'll arrive at a particular time, and you don't even need to leave the house. This is a problem, really, for town centres, isn't it?
I mean, it's a fundamental change in the way people live their lives. I am of that age where I can actually remember, you know, the bakers, the butchers, and you being able, and the groceries, you know, you're able to go to the different shops and be able to buy the goods in different stores. I think one of the important things as well around, particularly if we talk town centres, is a lot of the world now is moving to actually having people, more people living in the town centres, converting office space and potentially shop space into livable dwellings. And I think that's something that will potentially come through this consultation as well, to be fed back about revitalising the town centre by having people actually living in the town centre. The 80s and 90s saw a shift of people, you know, moving out, not living above shops and so on, and moving out into more housing estates. We seem, certainly around most of the Western world in the last sort of 10 years, to be going back to the old style of people living above shops, there being accommodation there, and people living directly in the town centre, you know, giving that urban regeneration there. And I think that's something that will probably feed into this consultation. I'd be absolutely amazed if nobody mentioned that in their responses.
And I suppose that then means that there will need to be new policies surrounding that, because quite frankly, if you are expecting or hoping that more people will live in the town centres above shops, above businesses, then there will need to be an understanding in the whole way in which planning works, as to the extra needs that will be created as a result of that.
Yeah, and that's the whole point again of this consultation and the strategic plan, is to drive any potential policy change or weighting even changes when planning applications are considered, as to how you weight the different competing elements. That's one of the fundamentals of the strategic plan, is to actually give guidance in that area.
And I suppose we've kind of touched on this already. What the plan won't do is say that in Castletown, in the square, there is going to be a new, large permanent fixture television screen, or in Douglas there's going to be a new sports arena in the centre of town. That comes from the area plan. The strategic plan just basically governs how these developments would be considered.
Yeah, so I think the best way to look at it is as a pyramid, and the strategic plan actually sits at the very point of the pyramid at the top, which actually gives the overall strategic vision and provides the framework in which planning policy and planning decisions operate. And then flowing down, as we move down the pyramid, you've got the individual area plans, which then flow off that strategic plan. And then obviously below that, you have the individual planning applications, the granular detail that may come forward for consideration.
Economic vision is deemed as a critical issue, and it certainly is. It's a critical issue for the Isle of Man government, because quite frankly, if you don't have more income coming in, you your problem with how to fund all the services that we demand becomes a very difficult one to resolve. How does the strategic plan address the economic vision for the island?
So the economic vision is absolutely key to the strategic plan. The whole point of the strategic plan is it's supposed to be a facilitator. So it's supposed to be a facilitator around housing for individuals, but also equally, what do we need economic growth? And one of the fundamentals of the strategic plan is actually looking at economic sites, at where do you need to develop out for the workplaces of the future? Where is that demand going to come from an economic side as well? That is absolutely critical, and people will find within the strategic plan various things they could potentially comment on in that area.
And there's a sort of a chicken and egg element to this, isn't there? Because if land is designated in, well, areas are suggested in the strategic plan for such development, then they're more likely to happen in those kinds of areas. But is that policy driven by what people say they want to do, or should it be driven by that, or should it be driven actually by, well, actually we've got a strategic need to ensure that the North, the South and the West also get economic development land?
And that's one of the things that will need to be actually developed out and decided as part of this. Obviously at the moment we're at the pre-publicity phase and the preliminary phase of this. We actually, you know, we're seeking views at the moment, so there's nothing set in stone. We need to be absolutely clear about that. Nothing has been decided, but that is something a strategic plan develops out. Even from an economic point of view, there's various options you can go down. You could again go down the route of saying let's hammer everything into the east and keep one economic hub in the island, or do we need to be developing out in other areas? Do we need to actually be building the economy in the north of the island, providing more actual workplaces up there, equally in the south, or equally in the West? You know, do we need a mixed approach rather than just saying that the East is the economic hub and everyone travels into the East every day to be able to do that? That is one of those things that will be considered as part of this process and will have to feed into the final version of the strategic plan.
And I suppose the question that I'm trying to ask is, where does Isle of Man government leadership fit in all of this? Because inevitably, as things stand, everyone will tell you, anyone who wants to set up a business, almost anyone who wants to set up a business will say they want to do it in the East because that's where most of the people are. And that may be right. It may be an absolutely sound bit of business thinking. But as a government, you might have decided that actually we don't want thousands of people travelling into Douglas every day. We would like to see more business out in the sticks, where people can work a lot closer to their homes.
And I think the key is, I mean, we're obviously talking about the economy as a whole, but I think there's different demands with different bits of the economy as well, which also feeds into this. So obviously, if you're opening a newsagent or a shop, a front-facing shop for customers, you really would potentially want to be in the east, because again, you're talking about the footfall. You know, you wouldn't want to be out in the countryside where you're going to get maybe, you know, five or six people through your door a day. So their demand really is in the urban centres. But equally, what you also see is in terms of office development, you look at the office development over the last sort of 20 years, and more of it's been going out onto sites outside of the centre. So the days of, you know, having huge offices in Douglas, you know, and other major urban conurbations is starting to change, where you just look at the business parks now that have sprung up, admittedly, most of them still in the east, but where you're looking at offices being developed, there's different demands by different parts of the economy. And that's something that also has to be thought through as we go develop the strategic plan.
Environment and climate change is deemed to be another of the critical issues. And it is fair to say that if you believe the scientists, it's probably critical is very definitely the word in relation to climate change. That said, there appear to be a growing number of people who don't believe the scientists and actually think that this is all a kind of a net zero bandwagon, and that they're not convinced that this is the right thing to do. Presumably, both sides of the argument have an opportunity to feed back into this strategic plan and give their views.
They most certainly do. Again, it is paper number 5 on the actual strategic plan. Publicity stuff around our climate responsibilities and embedding the Climate Change Act, because we do have to remember, as things currently stand, we have that act that actually lays out things that government must do. So it would actually be very strange to developing a strategic plan without actually recognising the fact that we do have those responsibilities in law. So as things stand, that will form part of the strategic plan consultation.
And what kinds of questions are you hoping to get answers to in relation to that?
So in terms of it, is how far do you go? What sort of measures do we put in? What do we put in terms of how do we achieve those goals that have been laid out in the Act? Do people have ideas around, again, should people be travelling in and out of the urban areas every single day, or should we bring things closer to home to people? But I think that is the part that will actually probably get the biggest wide range of views, I think, because if you do mention climate change or climate targets, you're quite right, Phil. At the moment you have people split probably equally into two different camps, with some people crying out you need to go further, faster and do more, and other people saying actually we need to put the brakes on. So I think probably out of all of us, that's probably the one that's going to garner the most interesting and mixed views, I think.
And collectively, all the things we've just been talking about, population and housing, town centre regeneration, economic vision and environment and climate change, these are the big ticket political items, and effectively the strategic plan will cement the policies. If the plan isn't changed, going right the way through to 2041, as you said earlier. So it really is a very big issue, and it's really important that as many people as possible actually respond to the consultation, I guess.
Absolutely, completely. The more people that respond, the more wide-ranging views we actually get, the better policy making can be in this area. Because as I say, we want to hear from everyone, be it developers, be it those working in the economy, be it from someone just trying to get housing supply and actually get a home of their own. We want as wide a range of views as possible. We've tried to make it much simpler than it's been in the past, much more user-friendly for people to be able to delve into the level of detail they want. If they want to go into the granular detail, there's the ability to do so. If they want a quick overview, there's the community guide there. But the more people that respond, the better policy we'll get out of the back end of this.
So this isn't the end, is it? The document is, or the consultation, I should say, is the start of a process. There are going to be further opportunities for people to feedback through things like drop-in sessions, things like this.
There's the various stages, legal stages, that have to be gone through, so there will be other opportunities. This is, I suppose, to use that old well-coined phrase, the end of the beginning. It's the real start of this process, and as I say, the full process before anything really goes before Timbald will be around about a year, maybe just over a year away. But I really think even at this early stage, this is the best time for people to get their comments in, get them in, get them online now, because that will help develop what comes next.
There were, I'm fairly sure, references in here, though, that there would be opportunities where the officers would be available to talk and engage with the public.
Most definitely, the whole 12 months, and like I say, the entire way the legal process is laid out for the strategic plan is to get maximum engagement as much as possible. We want to hear people's views, we want to get to take those views on board and try and get the most robust strategic plan we possibly can. Like I say, it's been 18 years since the last real proper review, so we need to ensure that this is a plan that actually will last and see us through into the future.
Way back, probably 10, 11 years ago when I was planning minister, there were various people pointing me in the direction of Scotland, where they had a kind of a community-led planning process, which basically seemed, from what I could see, to lock various community representatives and interested parties, anyone who was prepared to be locked in the room for two or three days to basically sit down and have an in-depth consideration of all of the issues. No thought about doing something similar in communities around the island?
Well, I'm hoping we won't have to resort to locking people in a room, to be perfectly honest. I'm hoping it'd be much better engagement than that. As the plan develops, there'll be various stages, and what we want is maximum consultation and community involvement in this, because it is actually about you know, the future of the island that we all live on. It is going to, you know, it is going to have a fundamental effect in the way the planning is considered and how we as an island, both, you know, on a social level and on an economic level, develop over the next 20 or so years. So we really, really need as much engagement as possible. Will we all agree? Probably not. I don't think you will ever get anything such as a strategic plan where everyone will agree. But I think the more wide-ranging and the variety of views that we get, the better policy that can come out at the end.
And the actual consultation itself, I'm just flicking through here on my screen, runs to 29 pages. I mean, there's an awful lot more by way of documents that you can read that will give you a lot more detail about the government's thinking and where we're at in terms of the statistics and everything. It's still, I mean, 29 pages worth of a consultation. It's quite a lengthy consultation, but I guess from what we've been saying, you know, it's a very important one to fill in.
It is, and joking apart, it's probably the slimmed down version of consultation, to be honest, compared to what it could have been. But, you know, it's important we do try and get those granular views off people. You know, there will be people, I would assume, who will not complete the full 29 pages and will probably focus in on the things that matter to them. But I think, like I say, it's got to be to that level because we want to actually get those granular views of the people out there.
The evidence papers run to, significant numbers of pages. The actual document, the main document, the main explanatory document runs, I think, was it to 59 pages or 64 pages. So there's lots in there. Admittedly, some of the pages are pictures, which which helps. But yes, I mean, there's so much detail, isn't there,
there is.
That people can engage with. But as you said, and I think at the very start, even just going through the consultation and answering some of the questions would be a great start, even if you haven't got the time to read everything.
Yeah, and one of the things we've also done, which is absolutely new, is we've done a short community guide. So the first paper that's available, paper number one, is the community guide, which runs to 8 pages. So substantially less than some of the other documents. And then the other documents are broken out by theme. So if people have got, for instance, an absolute interest in urban area development, they can go direct to that paper. So we've actually tried to break it out rather than people having to deal with a several hundred page one document and trying to find the section that they feel matters to them.
I suppose the other thing that we should mention is, where do people go to actually find all this information and fill in the consultation?
So there's several places people can go. There's obviously, it's on the government consultation portal. So people can go online there. There is also paper copies available as well. If people actually need paper copies, they can actually obtain that by emailing the strategicplan@gov.im, and we'll be able to get a paper copy to you as well. And obviously they can return any paper responses directly to planning policy in the Cabinet Office and government offices.
Presumably if someone isn't IT literate, they could get the documentation, the consultation paper from some other means?
Yeah, so there's paper response forms available, as I say. If they contact the Cabinet Office, they'll be able to obtain paper copies.
So they could do that phone or yeah. Post, I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't have well to be via email.
It's a lot of work, isn't it?
It's a huge amount of work, and to be honest, the planning policy team have worked exceptionally hard to get it to even this stage. It's always with these things, it's always the work that goes on behind the scenes that actually takes up the most time. And as Minister for the Cabinet Office, I do want to pay tribute to the team. At the same time, they've been doing the North and West Area Plan as well as trying to cope with this. They are a very small team, a very dedicated team, but it has been an awful lot of work for them to get just to this initial stage.
During the pre what do they call it, pre-publicity stages. During that stage, there was talk of potentially having an area plan and the strategic plan. So the area plan would be for the whole of the Isle of Man rather than doing the individual area plans. I mean, has that idea been shelved now?
No, it hasn't been shelved. The plan is still, you know, if we get the North and West area plan through Tynwald, if Tynwald supports that, that is the last of the area plans then updated. And then basically the plan would be for the next one to be an all-Ireland area plan. That's still on course, but obviously that will be a few years away.
And that, again, that would be several years to do, presumably.
It is. It's not a quick process.
And I guess if you've just finished the North and West and East, the chances are you're not going to be eager to open up a further front.
Well, planning is always ongoing because of the length of time that these things take, quite rightly, and the consideration that needs to go into them. They do take a long time, so there is always a constant evolution of the policy.
We talked about the critical issues. I mean, the evidence papers, there's a navigational aid to preliminary publicity papers. There's a pattern and distribution of development on the island paper, urban communities and centres paper, rural communities and the countryside, and our climate responsibilities. Those are the evidence papers that are available. There's not going to be many people in the Isle of Man will have an excuse for not being able to sleep.
Well, it might help. You never know. It might help with some sleep. But yeah. But no, I mean, they're, like I say, we've deliberately split out the different papers this time rather than having it as one big document. So you've got things like paper 3 on urban communities and centres, paper 4 on rural communities and the countryside, the climate responsibilities I've already mentioned in paper 5, you know, and the pattern and distribution of development in paper 2. So there is an awful lot for people to consider, but it is very easy if they've got a specific interest in one and would lose the will to live with everything else, they can focus in on that one thing and be able to provide their views.
And presumably, again, in terms of filling in the how many pages did I say? 29 pages?
I think you were up to 29.
Filling that consultation in. If you've only got two or three things that you've got a specific issue that you want to raise, then presumably you don't have to fill everything in.
My understanding is you don't have to go through the entire thing. You can give you know, very generic responses to other certain bits and actually go into great detail on all that.
Should Isle of Man government be doing a bit more in terms of the community engagement with this, bearing in mind just how important it is? And, you know, I very much appreciate you've come on this programme to talk about this, but perhaps challenging the public with, well, we could do this or we could do that or we could do the other, and giving some examples as to how the strategic plan could change the whole way in which the Isle of Man develops.
I think that comes later in the process. Like I say, this is the preliminary stage at the moment where we just want to go out and get as wide a range of views as possible. I think trying to come in at an early stage like that, as if you've got the preconceived ideas already and it's already all decided and this is, you know, we're going to take either approach A, B, C or D, I don't think that's right at the moment. That's certainly, there is no preconceived ideas. This is literally laying everything on the table and saying, you know, the strategic plan is now up for full review. We want your views. It is as simple as that. I think what comes later in the process is when things have become more refined and you could potentially say in certain areas, well, you could take an A, B or C approach. We're not there yet. That's much later down in the process.
Consultation ends
5 p.m. Monday the 27th of October.
What are the next steps?
So then the next step obviously is Cabinet Office will consider all of the responses that have been received, and then from there we will obviously publish the consultation response document, and then from there we will consider moving to the next stage, which will then be starting to work up the documents relating to the strategic plan.
You will be appointing an inspector once you've got to the position of having a draft version of the strategic plan, that goes to an inspector, and the inspector then has to consider all the evidence that's presented by the department. But also the inspector will have the opportunity to hear from interested parties as well.
There's an awful lot of opportunities for people to feed in, and I think that's absolutely important, because, as I say, this is setting the future, and it is important we hear all views and a wide range of views, and there is a long process to go, as you've just laid out there, before we actually get anywhere near going to Tynwald for approval.
So I guess in your role as Minister at the Cabinet Office, you're going to be pretty busy for the next 12 months.
I'm pretty busy anyway, but it's going to be really, from a planning policy point of view, obviously with this on the agenda, it is going to be one of the key focus areas.
And how do you do that? Because of course you'll have to prioritise then, won't you? This issue will have to fall by the wayside, and another one will take precedent.
Well, like I say, I mean, from my point of view as minister, you know yourself, Phil, having served in several ministerial roles, including DOI, you know, every day is a prioritisation, really. There's constant things coming across the desk. The thing with this is it's not really, at this stage, a political issue. There's a very set process to go through. So my involvement as minister is minimal in that sense, because there's very, very strict rules that have to be followed in the process. It's not a political process at this stage. But yes, you know, it is going to eventually take up quite a bit of time within the Cabinet Office and certainly within the planning policy team.
That was Douglas North MHK David Ashford. So what do you think? Will you put pen to paper or finger to keyboard and respond to the consultation? Your thoughts could influence this crucial plan. I'm Phil Gorn. Got a Myers and Geistock Rum. Thanks for listening.